Welcome back to Horoscope Witch. It's Mal, and I'm so excited for episode 18. So this episode is a beginner's guide to goddess worship for all of my baby witches out there trying to get started with developing their relationships with certain goddesses. And, you know, I decided I needed a friend to help me out with this conversation. So I asked my good friend Allison Jordan of Ethereal Odyssey to come on the podcast and help me out in facilitating this discussion about goddess worship. And I absolutely adore Allison. She was my first friend that I made through Horoscope Witch. So we met through this podcast back in October, I think. And honestly, we just clicked and I probably talk to her every day. And she's just like my number one witchy friend. So I'm very thankful for her friendship. And she is also a tarot reader, and she's based in southeastern Ohio. She offers intuitive support to help individuals become the highest possible versions of themselves. So if you are in southeastern Ohio and you're looking for a kick-ass tarot reader, hit Allison up. She's read for me before. She's very good. Highly recommend her. And she's also the host of the Ethereal Odyssey podcast, which is also a kick-ass podcast. And she talks about similar topics to Horoscope Witch. So she likes to talk about tarot, mythology. She even did an episode about Satan. So definitely check her podcast out. In this episode, Allison and I ended up talking about just a completely like expansive array of different goddesses all over across the board from different pantheons. We talked a lot about Mother Nature or Gaia. We talked about the Morrigan, Hecate, Oshun, Freya. We even started to talk about Odin and even Jesus. And we probably talked about other gods and goddesses as well. But I hope you guys enjoy this conversation. It's meant to help out the baby witches. But even if you don't consider yourself a witch, goddess worship can be an excellent spiritual practice to bring into your life. So without any more la-la, enjoy our very raw phone conversation. Okay, guys, thanks for listening. Hello?
Allison, yay! Welcome to Horoscope Witch.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much. Okay, so I already gave your little introduction in my introduction to this interview. But do you want to sort of tell the Horoscope Witch listeners about, let's say, your sun, your moon, and rising? And also, I know you're a witch, so can you tell them a little bit about, like, how you identify as a witch? Like, do you have a certain practice or whatnot? Just tell us everything about you.
Okay. Well, I am an Aquarius sun, a Gemini moon, and a Capricorn rising.
Cool.
Thanks.
That's a lot of energy. Also, I've seen your birth chart before, so you're very... You have a stellium in Capricorn as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of denial about the Capricorn for years, but mm-hmm. we're trying to embrace it.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm a witch. I would guess the best way to describe myself in some kind of label would be eclectic. Okay. Just because it's a kind of witchcraft that's borrowed from several different types of I don't know even when I really say cultures, because they're all like my ancestors, but like right. a mishmash, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So just getting in touch and developing my own type of flavor with witchcraft, I guess.
Yeah, totally. And like, just so that listeners know, like, I know, well, obviously I know, because I'm your friend, you have a yeah. tarot business.
I do.
It's called Ethereal Odyssey. But tell yeah. us more about, like, your name behind your business, because I've actually never heard, like, why your business is named Ethereal Odyssey.
So originally my name was going to be Wandering Aquarius.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my like OG Instagram name forever. And something in the journey shifted to where I became Wanderlust Aquarius. And it was okay, but I didn't feel like I identified with Wanderlust Aquarius being Aquarius just felt very generic. It didn't really describe the rest of my chart. And then,
yeah,
Wanderlust, even though it was a great terminology, it made me feel like I was always yearning for more, but feeling from a stuck place.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like Ethereal Odyssey, it makes me see like a boat, like going out on this great journey. Like that's what I think of when I look at your business name.
Yeah. Actually, the Odyssey part came from, did you ever read the Homer's Odyssey in school?
Yes. And I remember it being like kind of torturing to me because I was too young to like appreciate it, because I'm pretty sure I was like made to read that as like a freshman in high school, so like way too early to ever appreciate something like that, right?
yeah so I loved reading tales like that, or like Beowulf, or anything like that. So that kind of thought of an odyssey in search of more, and then of course the ethereal realm being witchcraft and spirituality, it just really felt cohesive.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love it. So I guess since we're aiming this episode as sort of like a lesson for baby witches about gods and goddesses, just for even anybody who's just getting started or just starting to identify themselves as a witch, can you give us a little bit of like, I don't know, maybe a little story about how you came into your witchcraft or how you found spirituality or anything about the beginning for you? Like, sure. Was it hard or was it easy or whatever you can tell us.
Try to give you the cliff notes. Well, to give a little background about where I came from, I was originally raised as a generic Christian, heavily influenced with the Mormonism church. Okay. It was, where my grandmother, her whole family is from Mormonism. So I was in and out of those churches a lot. And then it was around, I was 14 or so. I was looking for anything to get out of the house, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I started going to, you know, like teen night at like the local church to just kind of like get out of the house, do something different, meet some boys, you know, like
the usual.
Yeah, but I mean, there was always this weird underlying theme of like, this is great, but something just doesn't feel right.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just couldn't really ever vibe with the patriarchy in the church. And as a woman, never feeling like at all ever going to be like equal as a man.
I felt the same way, like being raised in the Catholic church. Like I always wondered, even as a little girl, I was like, why can't a woman be a priest? Like that was something that weighed so heavily at me. So I can like see how that's like probably across the board for all witches. Like even if you're a Christian witch or whatever, there's usually some kind of struggle with like, you know, a woman can do this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that kind of
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's amazing that it's not even until these last, what, like 20 years that women are stepping into this matriarchal power in the church.
Right.
Yeah. It's really interesting.
So once you kind of figured out that this organized religion wasn't necessarily for you, like it's kind of a big step to like be interested in like witchcraft from like Mormonism. So.
Oh, it totally is. Yeah. So,
but I kind of love it.
Yeah. So I went through lots of phases of, you know, like identifying with the church, not identifying, being some realm of agnostic is the only way I can describe it. Feeling as though there was higher power and greater purpose, but not having a direct name or attribute that I could identify with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. I get it.
Yeah. And it wasn't until I want to say I was like 20 years old or so that I was, you know, crying over a boy and just totally like heartbroken and not knowing what to do with my life and this and that. So I gave my friend a ride to, you know, work one day, and I was like, I never usually go off on my own to places, but for some reason I was like, you know, I'm going to go sit by the lake, you know, on the beach and okay. just see how I feel. Right.
Right.
And it was a weird time. It was like 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. No one's there. Right.
Right. Exactly.
but yeah, I was like sitting there and just pouring my heart out onto the beach to Mother Nature for some reason, just feeling, yeah. I'm not even sure why, but the thought of like, you know what, I'm not going to be praying to this male God that I don't even really identify with anymore. I was like, I'm going to just talk to Mother Nature and she can feel everything and sit with it. And, you know, if that's yeah. what's going on, then that's what's going on. And
amazing.
I did it. Yeah. I poured my heart out to her, and then she sent me a pretty significant sign that it was time for me to like get my shit together.
Oh my God, I love that. I get chills.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. in a sense, like, Mother Nature was sort of like the first goddess that you came to in a way.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. And that kind yeah. of influences mm-hmm. you now, because you are, I feel like you're kind of like a hedge witch. Like, you're very connected to, like, you grow certain plants to make spells, right? And you're like, you like kind of plan your garden, and you are very connected to the earth in a way, much more than I am as a witch.
I'd like to think I'm like a lazy hedge witch, you
yeah,
know?
Yep, yeah.
Because I don't want to sit there and take the time to, you know, weed out things and whatever. So I'll do potted plants or like porch plants. And that way I can really have time to sit and develop this relationship with certain herbs, but not also have to do all this hard backbreaking labor around it.
Right? Yeah, completely. I don't even know what kind of witch I am. I think I'm still, you know, in the first, like, let's say like even year of like stepping into my power and calling myself a witch. So it's sort of hard for me to like kind of label myself, but I do see a lot of people saying like, oh, I'm a hedge witch, or like, oh, I do this or I do that. And like, for me right now, it's very much experiment. Like right yeah. now I'm in a love affair with like candle magic and just like getting connected with that. But who knows, maybe a couple years from now, I'll be a hedge witch myself. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's funny you bring that up, because I never would have identified myself as a witch for a long period of time until I kept, you know, like secretly looking it up on Pinterest
right,
and,
right.
you know, just slowly dipping my toes into the water until I realized, oh, I'm doing all of these things,
yeah.
you know, like the 10 signs you're a witch. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, I'm totally just doing this.
Dude, Pinterest is like a gateway to witchcraft. I swear to God. That's where
it
we
is.
Get like all of our articles to post from like the shop I work at, like from mm-hmm. our website. We just get all our stuff off of Pinterest. So if you're
yeah.
a baby witch listening, go on Pinterest, because they actually have legitimate information about
yeah.
like if you're looking to do like a simple candle magic spell or something like that, like they actually have a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and I love it in a sense because it gives you great ideas for your own spell work.
Yeah.
I can't necessarily like be married or tied to like one person's recipe, but
me
I
neither.
Like
yeah.
yeah, I like looking at different ideas and figuring out the vibe. I'm like, okay, yeah, I feel this, like I have these herbs, like I feel like this would be compatible. And then just kind of like making it your own.
Right, right. So I guess after you connected to Mother Nature, sort of, how long did it take you then after that to find tarot and find
oh,
your
God.
Divinating powers?
It was a slow process for me. I want to say it was maybe another year.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit less than, but it was a while after that I finally got to know tarot. I was, of course, worried about other people judging me. Like, what does that mean being a witch? Like, mm-hmm. you know, lots of like fear and judgment surrounding it, lots of cultural bias. And what I did was I just took baby steps, just to kind of dip my toes in the water. First, I started with learning about the chakras and crystal healing and frequencies.
That's always a good place to start.
And then moving into like herbalism, I think it was easier for me seeing the actual physical effects of like the frequencies and the biology of plants. It was easier to explain and identify with my friends and family than it was just being like, oh, I'm like divination, you know?
Right. I totally get it. And almost like as a baby witch, you need to do something that sort of shows you that your powers work. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense, because that's how you build confidence and that's how your magic gets stronger. So if like you can have like, you know, a relationship with your magic, that's when like the magic actually gets somewhere, you know?
Yeah. Plus you find out what kinds of magic that you're really good at or really not.
Yeah. And like, do you think, you know, after you finally came across tarot and you sort of maybe got over your fear of judgment, like, do you, I don't know, like, I know for you, like, or for me, like, I kind of confided in you because, like, just in the past month or so, I've sort of come out of the broom closet or like the spiritual closet. And it's funny because like the listeners don't know, but I was like freaking out when I like, posted on my like personal Facebook and my personal Instagram about like being a reader at the psychic fair that I work at. And I like messaged Allison and I was like, oh my God, I'm freaking out. Like I'm coming out of the spiritual closet. And you were like, you can do this. Like do it.
Yes.
But, like what did you, there's so much anxiety, I think. And like, how do you continue to deal with that? Like, you know, is there a certain, I don't know, is there a power or a goddess that you can call in to deal with that sort of inherited shame or anxiety, or I don't even know what it is, but I don't know, to enlighten us on that.
Oh, it's a big question. I feel as though it could be a couple different things. So touching on the confidence to get up and to feel completely abundant with where you are as a witch, and getting that kind of like support is really helpful, I believe, with just Mother Supreme or Mother Nature. I feel like it's very easy to relate to and connect to. She's everywhere, and the abundant support is always going to be there. As for getting like confidence and helping to shut out the like negativity, I like to call in more like warrior goddesses.
Yeah.
So like Hela or Hecate, even Freya in some instances.
Totally. Yeah, I get it. Like, I think it's a good place to start for baby witches if they have like no idea what goddess they should be working with. Like maybe Mother Nature is just a really good place to start. And then from there, I think Mother Nature is sort of this like ultimate archetype of all the goddesses. Like all the goddesses and all the gods will always reflect Mother Nature. So it really makes sense to start there and kind of go from there and see where your intuition takes you.
Yeah, it's beautiful because it represents infinite creativity and nurturing, but also like abundance and support. You know, like total Queen of Pentacles vibes.
Right. Totally. And also nature shows us that like, you know, life, death, life, like, you know, the cycles. And as a witch and as any person, but especially as a witch, because you have to be committed to seeing your shadow and doing shadow work. Like Mother Nature can also be like actually a really good shadow work goddess because she always teaches us that we rebirth from our winter phases, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And for any baby witches out there not familiar with shadow work,
Give us an explanation.
Okay. So when I first dove into witchcraft, I didn't even want to touch shadow work because I thought it was associated with, like, black magic and just, like, you know, sacrificing people. And I just didn't get it at all. It was a lot of, like, fear-based.
Yeah. So
I would stick to the positivity and the light all the time. Until I want to say it was around like a fall or winter time, I was realizing, okay, like it's fun in the sun, but now it's winter time and you really have to address these traumas and these wounds and, you know, spend some time with yourself in solitude.
Totally. Yeah, because that's a big part about being a witch. You have to be comfortable with solitude because, like your story said about, like, the first connection you had with Mother Nature, like, you didn't typically go somewhere yourself, but you went somewhere by yourself and you sat by the lake and you were practicing that intentional solitude. So I think for, like, any witch out there who wants to get started, like, I think it's about getting in touch with who you are alone and what you're hearing when you are in solitude, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And I'm not sure if you've ever felt this way, but I feel like being on the threshold of something really amplifies the effects.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. Like when you're on the threshold of a spiritual awakening or on the threshold of like figuring out that you're a witch or whatever, it can feel very dark.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So it's funny to think about all of my spiritual experiences happening right on some sort of threshold, whether it be spiritual or actually physical, like me being on a beach between land and water, or like being on my porch between, you know, my house and the outside.
Oh, I like
sitting
that.
On the edge of the forest between the woods and the clearing. It's very... I feel like it's a good symbolic vision, but it also kind of clears your mind for like an open door.
That's such a good metaphor. I love it. And you know what they say, you know, one of these classes I took at one point, we were talking about like the supernatural meaning of trees and how in some kind of fairy tales or like kind of just whatever kind of mystical stories, sometimes like a tree will be a portal into another world. Mm-hmm. And I always think about that when I'm walking in nature, like nature is a portal into the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm. And that may sound really weird to say, but think of how, you know, most people are buried. We're buried in a hollowed out tree, essentially, like in a coffin. And that sends us into another world, you know, so we do that in everyday life. We don't really think about that. But there's other ways to sort of incorporate that when you're still living. And, you know, using nature as your portal into the spiritual realm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if so, Mother Nature, your first goddess, and then, you know, you were led to your tarot cards. For, you know, I think there's two differing opinions in the witchcraft world when it comes to finding goddesses. Like, there's sort of a question of, should you seek a goddess or should you let them seek you? And I guess I want you to answer that question. Like, what has been your experience? Has it been, you know, one or the other or a little bit of both? Or
I would say it's meeting in the middle.
Yeah.
It's opening up yourself to those type of experiences with different goddesses. Just kind of check in, do some research, see who's available, and then wait for signs for them to come to you.
I totally agree. Mm-hmm. Did you ever have, like, besides Mother Nature, like, who came after that with you? Like, I know you mentioned Hecate and Hela, but is there anybody else that you maybe view as more of, like, maybe a patron goddess or some sort?
Oh, gosh. Patron is, like, a strong word, because I have a hard time identifying with, like, one single goddess throughout the year. I feel like it ebbs and flows with the seasons a lot.
Me too. I've never been that kind of witch who feels like they have a patron goddess. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. So if I had to have one, it would be Mother Nature as like the umbrella goddess over everyone. And then all the other gods and goddesses are somewhat extensions of her, but in different like characteristics.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Did you ever have like a situation, I guess, where you felt like a goddess was like giving you signs that you needed to work with him or her? Or I should include gods in this too, because I know you work with some gods too.
Oh gosh, yeah. So the one that was the most clearest to me was probably closer to December, right? I will occasionally, I'll leave myself open to, what is the word I'm looking for? Interpretation through different like means of divination. I don't just mean like tarot and like scrying. I mean like listening to the radio, just being like, okay, goddess, like, if you're here and you're listening and you want a clear message to connect with me, bring it in this song right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's fun because it gets you out of the ordinary and gets you thinking. And then also you learn way more through symbolism and especially through songs than you ever would have imagined just looking at tarot.
Right, completely.
Yeah.
That's such good advice, because I think even for baby witches, they may not vibe with a deck of tarot cards, or they may not want to, you know, learn a traditional mode of divination. Their divination might be something more everyday, like music, or even sometimes, like, if I don't feel like pulling cards, I'll just, you know, run my hand over my bookshelf and I'll see if like a certain book is calling to me, and then I'll just crack open the page and sort of read whatever page I cracked open to. And honestly, it works. For me, it is sort of a mode of a divination.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't really know that much about the Morrigan, but for some reason the name just kept coming out on like Instagram posts and friends mentioning it, and just seeing the name Morrigan all over the place.
Yeah.
And so one night I was in my car and I said, you know, hey, if you really want to connect with me, can you give me a sign through this song? And I turned the station, it started a brand new song, and it was the Selena Gomez, the one where she's talking about running through the jungle with wolves.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, wolves are like a huge thing with the Morrigan, and she's very much about the shadow side.
Yes.
So I like instantly were crying.
Oh my God. It's funny that you mentioned the Morrigan, because I actually had a trippy experience with her and it was very unexpected.
Oh my gosh, tell me more.
Well, like where I work at the metaphysical store that I work at, you know, my boss is channels energies into candles. And one of her candles that she makes is the Morrigan candle. And I always looked at the Morrigan candle and I was kind of afraid of it. And I was like, oh man, this energy I can just feel, and it's shadowy and like, I don't know if I'm ready to work with it. But I think one day, you know, my boss messed up on a Morrigan candle. So she just gave it to me. And it wasn't like the spell wasn't necessarily messed up or the channeling wasn't messed up. It was more of like the physicality of the actual, how it looked was sort of wonky. So I ended up taking this Morrigan candle home, not really sure what I needed to do with it. And I went to sleep with it, you know, on my nightstand. And the next morning I woke up and I felt like I need to work with her. So I ended up kind of taking a meditational bath where I like really got into it. And I was playing this like Celtic meditation music in the background, since I know the Morrigan is like the Irish war goddess. And when I say this meditation was intense with her, it was like crazy. Like, she showed me every single thing that I'm afraid of. One of those things, you'll laugh, like one of those things being she dressed me up like a traditional fortune teller, and she put me in a turban and gave me a crystal ball. And she actually forced me to laugh at myself because she was like, this is what you're afraid of. Like, this is your shadow. Like, you're so afraid of people thinking that you're ridiculous. And that was just like one of the things she showed me. Like, another thing she did with me, a couple of things were really personal, but I guess the one of the not too personal ones would have been, she had me sort of dancing this sort of Irish jig kind of thing. And it was fine between just me and her. But then a crowd of people started coming around us and I wanted to run away. And she said, no. She's like, you're afraid of being noticed. You need to start being comfortable with being noticed.
I love so, that.
Let's just say when I came out of that bath, I felt mind fucked. I felt very like I had just met the Morrigan. And honestly, don't you think the Morrigan has sort of a dark reputation in the pagan realm? Because it's like, once she chooses you, you can never get away. Or like, I don't know. I like hear all these things about her. I didn't get that vibe from her, though.
No. Yeah.
Like, I didn't feel like she like chose me to be her child of the darkness. Or
yeah, for sure. Whenever I felt like attuned with her, I was, it was after, you know, the whole song thing had happened. Mm-hmm. I was meditating and I was laying on the beach, and I remember like just laying there and, having a really hard time like concentrating and almost giving up on myself. And then all of a sudden I saw like her face kind of flash out of the corner. Like she was trying to look from behind a wall at me, not like at me at like are you okay type of look. You know, like do you drown or are you still here? I didn't really understand it, but then I just started to think about my dynamic with these beings, where I get really excited and want to talk about them and research them a lot. But when it comes to my actual experiences, I think they all have a very good understanding of too much can be too much for me. Like overstimulation, and I'll freak myself out way too much and then just completely like close down.
I get that, because especially with the shadow work goddesses, I think there's a sense that maybe people are afraid to work with shadow work goddesses because they might take you to a place that you're not ready for. But I truly believe, like, even with my Morrigan meditation, like the places that she took me, I could handle. Like, I handled everything. Like, she didn't show me anything that I wasn't ready to see. And I think that's important, like, when working with a shadow work goddess, like, you know, having that kind of, I guess, trust that, you know, whatever goddess is maybe seeking you or whatever goddess you're looking to work with, at least to kind of explore a darker side of you, it's not necessarily as scary as they say.
Yeah, I think it's more coming to terms with who you are as a whole. Like yin and yang, and not just like, oh, love and light, you know, like cheer up, count your blessings.
Totally.
Nah, like, fuck you. I want to be like a tormented soul for like 5 minutes.
Right. Like, no, like, fuck me up. Like, give me the dirt. Like, give me what's holding me back and let me fix it.
Yeah. Cause otherwise we would just be these like weird angels and we wouldn't actually be humans that feel things and learn things.
Right. That's funny that we got on the topic of like shadow work goddesses, but do you have like a goddess that you go to when you just don't need shadow work and you need like love and you just need like a good feeling and confidence about yourself, like in that kind of sense?
I really like Freya.
I've been being called to work with Freya lately. I haven't yet, like I haven't officially called her in, but I know she's next on my list.
Yeah, she was one of my first like real specific deities. I think Yeah, I think the first thing that pulled me to her was like the Nordic pantheon, which I really identify with, and just the culture that surrounds the Nordic pantheon. And it just gives me such like gumption to get up there and be myself, you know?
Yeah, because the Nordic pantheon, all of those gods and goddesses, they're Vikings. So like
Yeah.
no matter what, like even though Freya is this like has this sexy, loving energy to her, she's still Viking woman and she's still this like war goddess in a way. And that's what I like about her energy. Like I'm trying to find like I feel like that's what I need right now. I think I need something that's like in between, like dark goddess and then like someone really really lovey-dovey, you know?
Yeah, I totally feel that.
Yeah, right now my like loving goddess is Oshun, but have you ever heard of any of like the African Orisha goddesses, or do you know anything about it? Because I didn't. Like Oshun totally came to me and I had no idea who she was.
I really don't. I don't.
Yeah, it was weird because like I was a little nervous about working with Oshun in particular because she's from like a different, way different pantheon and that I am unfamiliar with. And like the African Orisha goddesses were something that I was like, well, you know, I'm a little white girl, like I'm not an African Orisha priestess or anything. And but at the same time, like Oshun, you know, who she's kind of like, I would describe her as, although I don't think she likes when I describe her as this, but let's just put it in a Western context. Like she's kind of like the African Aphrodite, only she's like way sexier and she's way more confident and she loves to be center of attention and like she just loves to love. And that's my loving goddess right now in my life.
I love
Yeah, and I
that.
do really love her, and I want to research at least more into like the African pantheons, even though I would never go about identifying myself as like an African Orisha or anything like that. Like, I really love the goddesses and I love what they teach us. And it's just funny how we can find like each kind of every pantheon has a love goddess. Every pantheon has a shadow work goddess and so on and so forth. And it's just endless, you know? That's why you gotta explore.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I love finding these, like you said, you know, like a lot of pantheons have these love goddesses and warrior goddesses. And I love the idea of we are all basically worshiping the same type of entity, but just in different names and tales.
Totally. That's what I love. That's, yes, exactly. That's what kind of being a witch has taught me. It doesn't matter what kind of witch you are. It doesn't matter if you identify, you know, with voodoo or as a Wiccan or just as a general solitary pagan like I do. Each goddess is sort of connected, and I think they're all sort of working together in a weird way.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to ask one thing that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
When you were a kid, did you have some kind of like kid or teen type of like worshipped goddess?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So this is funny because even though like this happened when I was in middle school, and in English class, I had to pick like a Greek god or goddess to research, and I picked Persephone. And if anybody like doesn't know the story of Persephone, it's sort of like she's the daughter of Demeter, which is the goddess of harvest. And Persephone goes, is kind of like, I don't want to call her dumb, but she's very naive. And she was kind of wandering out by herself. And when she was, Hades actually captured her and brought her into the underworld to be his sort of wife of, you know, his wife and the goddess of the underworld. And that sort of was the explanation of why winter happens, because when Hades takes Persephone into the underworld, Demeter, goddess of harvest, gets super depressed and starts to create winter. But I think just the idea of Persephone actually going to the underworld intrigued me so deeply. Like, I always had sort of, I don't want to call it an unhealthy fascination with hell, but like, seriously, like, I think as a kid, like, I think this comes from me being a writer. Like, I would write stories about, you know, like mythical things and what would happen in hell and the whole, like, I was basically like, I would have read Dante's Inferno if I could when I was like little, but I didn't. And like, I don't know, there's something very cool about how Persephone like was able to go in between the worlds. But for you, did you ever have like a childhood goddess that you liked, or I don't know, or anything related as a goddess to you as a kid?
So I was always really interested in like the supernatural type of like movies and shows.
Weren't we all?
Right. Surprise, surprise. I really love the idea of like sirens being, you know, these like beautiful, like mermaid type of creatures, you know, luring you in, but also like tearing your head off.
Ooh, love that. Yeah. Like an evil mermaid.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. As far as like movies or Disney shows, I really loved like the Lost City of Atlantis, like the main girl Kida. Oh, and I absolutely loved their idea of crystals being like this life force, but also like used as an energy source. I was just like, can this just be real? I mean, it is, but not like powering our cars.
Right. Well, it's, LOL, that's funny. You know, the thing is, though, when baby witches are kind of confused about working with a goddess, they can always just go back to what we did as little kids. Like, we watched, like, the Disney movies, or we watched whatever it was, and we were fixated, maybe. We all had a favorite princess, or we all had a favorite character, cartoon character, or whatever you were into. I'm sure you had a favorite something, and you probably worshipped them on some level.
Oh yeah.
So like, we can actually just like rewind and see what we were doing as a kid and be like, okay, well, maybe I need to do that again, have some fun and experiment again.
Right. Oh my gosh. So I'm not sure if you remember this Disney show called So Weird?
I do. I
was my God.
I feel like you're a little bit older than me, but I feel like I was just young enough to like have watched that.
Yeah, yeah. It was one of my favorite shows of all time. For those who haven't seen it, it was a show on, what was it, the early 2000s on Disney Channel?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. This girl, Fiona, would travel the world with her mother. She was a rock star. So, you know, of course, she would get into all kinds of shenanigans, like basically really into investigating paranormal activity wherever they stopped. And but also trying to piece together and like reunite people. And I just love that dynamic.
Oh, my God. I totally do. You know, and you know what? It's I bet that every, like, you know, character on TV or Disney, whatever, that you were into as a little kid, there's probably a goddess version of that, wouldn't you think?
Without a doubt.
Yeah, like, I just know, because that's how archetypes work, right? Mm-hmm. Like, princesses are just archetypes, and it goes on and on.
Right.
So, okay, tell us about your, right now, your current, you know, who are you currently working with? I know you told me maybe a lot more with the Nordic pantheon because you were, you know, you're learning the runic alphabet, you know, in addition to your tarot cards. So I don't know, maybe your listeners, I don't know if my listeners are really familiar with the runic alphabet and how it relates to the Nordic pantheon, but maybe you can kind of tell us a little bit more.
In what instances?
Well, like, because I know Odin, you know, he like birthed the runes and everything, and like I kind of see like the Nordic pantheon as kind of like the rune studiers pantheon, you know what I mean? So I don't know if like any of the rune or the Nordic gods have been calling to you lately, or if there's another one that, you know, I don't know, anybody like in particular lately that's been calling you.
Okay, I would say Tyr was one of those that was calling for a little while. Odin, I feel like I keep coming back to, like, several times. He's almost kind of like the dad that checks up on you, makes sure you're all right, and yeah, then just kind of disappears, but, you know, keeps coming back. He's like a traveler, you know, and that's what he's known for. I never worked with a male type of entity while I was in my goddess journey for like a long time until this past winter, when he was really showing up in my dream one night.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was not at all what I expected. He was more like very casual looking, like the dude from The Big Lebowski. But he, like, whenever he was talking, it was more like Mr. Feeny.
Yeah.
So it felt very relatable. Right. And it didn't feel like this, you know, all you're fucking up, you know, you better straighten up your life type of feeling. No. But I mean, Odin and runes go hand in hand for sure. I feel like whenever I work with him, he's always just kind of there to check in. And I feel like any kind of like poetry or language, he's the god of poetry and mead also. I think that any type of divination, there's some sort of presence with Odin, but yeah, just kind of like just to give you a check-in.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Totally. I love how you said that, like, you, for your first, like, couple years of your witchcraft journey, you sort of focuses on the goddesses, and you almost, like, maybe you never even expected that you would actually connect with, like, a male entity.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not. I did not think that I wanted to have anything to do with male deities for, you know, like, forever. And then Odin showed up, and I'm like, well, here we go.
right. It's interesting. Yeah, because, like, as witches, we're, like, so focused on the goddess, which is only natural. Mm-hmm. So then, like, when a male or a masculine energy sort of wants to make its way onto our altar, we're kind of like, what? Who are you? Like,
yeah, real hesitant, because we don't want that male figure to take over.
Yeah, because, like, we almost have, like, I don't want to say PTSD, but kind of, like,
absolutely, yes.
Especially if, like, any witches have come, like us, from organized religion, like, we may have sort of a preconceived notion and be like, well, I don't need no man. Like, I'm in witchcraft because, like, this is all about, like, the power, the female power, you know? So not to say that males cannot be witches, because I totally know male witches, but even they, you know, do a lot of goddess worship, so
right
it's totally, that's kind of how I feel sometimes. Once in a blue moon, I'll be at Snowflake, which is the shop I'm in right now where I work, and Jesus will just come to me.
which
is so odd, because I really, in Christianity, I never really felt that connected to Jesus. Again, like, you know, being a young Catholic, like, I was just not into it, not interested in it. So now that I've kind of separated myself from it, I can appreciate that Jesus energy in a new way. And I do, you know, sometimes call him in, especially if I feel like a darker energy, or if one of my clients has a lot of, let's say, unconscious bad energy that I'm feeling, I will never hesitate to call in Jesus. And I'm like, all right, Jesus, come on in here, because I need you too.
Yeah, and it's funny looking at it from a non-Christian point of view now.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of like pressure and labels put on Jesus in the Christian world.
Totally.
Yeah. But looking at him as almost like an ascended, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like almost like a Buddha instead of this.
Like, yeah.
Big,
yeah.
He's representation of the patriarchy.
Exactly. He's way more relatable in that sense than as this, you know, like, I died and suffered for everything. So, you know,
yeah,
don't waste it.
Yeah, no, it's true. And honestly, to be honest, every time I feel Jesus energy, he has an amazing feminine energy to him.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a gendered way at all. Like, I just mean that in feminine energy terms. I don't actually know how to explain it, but he is not at all what we have manipulated him to be. And I think that's really important. And even if there are any like recovering, I don't know, Christians out there who feel like they were like scarred from their Christian experience and they're maybe hesitant to go into witchcraft because they don't want like another experience like that, I think it's sort of good to know that like different deities can reveal themselves in a way different way later.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, you have to remember is everything, any sort of spiritual worship is a small form of witchcraft, whether you want to identify with that or not. I mean, like, witchcraft has been hiding in plain sight under different labels for millennia.
Yeah,
totally. In fear of persecution.
Yeah.
So a great example of witchcraft in the Christian church or like worshiping Jesus would be, you know, taking the sacrament, you know, the blood and the bones or the body, I guess, and also praying to his mother. Like, these are all forms of witchcraft in themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think when we're thinking about like building an altar, it can sort of be triggering in a way because we're like, oh, an altar? Like, well, isn't that like, you know, I don't know, what's an altar? Like, isn't that the thing that the priest does the thing on? And and we kind of have to like change our perspective. At least that was how I felt. Like, how, I guess maybe we can get into more like, so for the baby witches listening, maybe we can give them some advice about like how to maybe go about choosing someone to work with, or if they really want to work with someone, how would they start to build a altar or do a sort of ritual for them? Do you have any like insight about that?
Well, if they have any interest, I would start at the source. So like Mother Nature, if that doesn't vibe with them, they could start with a father creator type of figure.
Good. Okay.
I would do as much research as possible. If you know anything about your cultural heritage, it doesn't hurt to look up what their original pantheon is and see if any of those names pop out at you. And just do a little bit of research.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want, you can even write down a bunch of gods and goddesses down on a piece of paper and then pull one out of a hat. And if you like identify with it, just, you know, see how it goes. Maybe it won't be like a hit the first time, but it'll give you some room to play and explore.
That's really good advice. And, you know, one of the, you know, a male witch that I work with, when I was first trying to build a relationship with Oshun, he gave me a worksheet. Like, he gave me homework. And on this on this worksheet had, like, a bunch of things that I needed to find out about Oshun. Like, her day of the week, her symbol, her number, her crystals. What is she like during rituals? What are the stories about her? What pantheon is she from? And I needed to do all this research. And I think it's maybe overlooked that if you truly want to build a relationship with a god or a goddess, you need to do research.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of like, you know, like finding somebody on like on a match.com or something like that. You want to know as much information about them as possible so that when you chat, you're not just like, do you like spaghetti? Or, you know, like you want to have like some things to talk about in chat. And then I feel the more you know about them, the more you can pick up on their signs to connect with you as well.
Oh yeah, completely. Like for Oshun, like one thing that I use her for a lot is actually my social anxiety, because I think I have trouble, like, you know, sometimes going out and just putting myself out there because I'm such a hermit and I'm such a homebody. It's not my fault. I was born under the hermit card, so it's fine. But one time, like, you know, it was actually just last weekend or 2 weekends ago, I asked Oshun, I was like, can you please be there for me tonight? Because I need some, like, extra confidence, I guess, going out and being social, which sounds so lame, but that's what I was calling her in for. And once I got into downtown Chicago, the Uber driver that I was riding with, he was Nigerian, and that is where Oshun's original roots are. And we started talking about Oshun for like 20 minutes, and his jaw dropped. He was like, how do you know who she is? Like, he was shocked that I like would even ask about that. But it's kind of amazing how the goddesses can show up once you really do connect with them.
Yes, I love that. Yeah. I can't believe he was your Uber driver.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. I ended up giving him a reading too, because he, in a way, he asked what I did. And I was like, of course, like Oshun in my head is like, tell him who you are. And I was like, okay. Like, yeah, I was like, I'm actually a psychic medium. And he was like, you're a psychic. And he was like, tell me about myself. And he was like, kind of being like testing me. Yet it was funny that I started talking about Oshun with him, because after I sort of read him, it was very apparent that he had disconnected from his Nigerian roots, and it was affecting his abundance in daily life. So in a way, like that message that I kind of gave him, it was like, you need to connect with these ancestors that I'm talking about, because there's no reason, like, again, this little white girl should connect with Oshun, and you shouldn't, like, like you need to start like going back to your ancestral roots. And he was like, okay, yeah, you're probably right. Like, yeah, you're totally true. So it was a really interesting cab ride. It was like, Oshun was kind of like, you help me, but like, I'll help you if you help me kind of thing. Like,
yeah, I love that.
Yeah. It's such a relationship you build with them, you know?
It really is. And we're so privileged in this day and age where anybody has access to the internet. Well, almost anybody. But the resources to be able to research these gods and goddesses are basically limitless. And to the kind of information that you can share with other people and get responses back, just like, what do you know about Freya? What do you know about Odin? And just starting a dialogue with even your friends on Instagram is amazing. And I feel, I feel like there's no way I would have been able to develop myself spiritually had I been born just 50 years ago.
Yeah, no, it's true, because like we wouldn't, like I would have never found, or Oshun would have never found me, I should say, if it wasn't for the internet, you know, because in a way, like I wasn't seeking her, but she did come into my consciousness through the internet and like through YouTube and things like that. So it you're so right. Like, we're privileged nowadays as modern witches, like the fact that we have these connections to work with, and we can do this research really easily, actually.
Yes. But with great power comes great responsibility.
Yep. Very true. Very true. Very true. Okay. So for, you know, let's say a baby witch, you know, she has her, you know, goddess that she's picked out or has come to her, and she wants to sort of dedicate maybe a ritual to her goddess. And it's like the first ritual she's ever done. What would be your advice? Like, how would you go about that?
Well, A really good starter would be look, are there any like herbs or holidays associated with them? Yeah, so and like a good example would be like Odin is very much associated with like Christmas. So I would just like, oh, goodness, what's a good example? So I would make like little Christmas cookies with like things that I thought that Odin would like. And just kind of start from there. Yeah. Another good example would be like in the summertime, different like flowers. So ones that I associated with Freya being like fragrant ones.
Yeah.
So I had like violets growing in the yard and some dandelions. So I made almost like a hairspray, like a toner.
Oh.
Yeah. So just kind of like a refresher, to give me time. I don't know. I like the physical.
Yeah.
The physical things, that represent them being made into something else that you can connect with throughout the season.
Yeah, I love the idea, like your idea of having like seasonal goddesses, because like in this, although I'm kind of not doing that right now because like I'm working with a shadow goddess and a love goddess at the same time. Like I would say my two main goddesses right now are the Morrigan and Oshun. However, I can really see some people vibing with like, okay, maybe I work with a shadow work goddess in the winter. And then in spring, I start to bring life back, let's say with Bridget or someone like that. And then in the summer, I start working with more of a love goddess like Freya or Aphrodite or anybody like that. And then in the fall with celebrating Samhain, maybe then we call back in like that darker shadow work goddess. So it's all a cycle, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't mean by any means necessary that you have to stick to that seasonal type of cycle.
No.
You can for sure have a patron goddess year round or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Just figure out what works for you.
Yeah. I love that idea of like baking something for a goddess or god that they would like. I often, because I'm so watery, you know, I'm a triple water sign, so I tend to like veer towards dedicating baths to certain gods or goddesses. Like often something I'll do is I'll spell out symbols, like either runic symbols or just astrological glyphs into the bath with salt. And I'll sort of infuse the bath with this energy, and that's sort of how I'll go about like connecting and doing a ritual with a goddess. So it's not, I feel like when we say the word ritual, a baby witch might be like, okay, what are we slaughtering? Like, what's a ritual?
Yeah, like seven Hail Marys, you know, slaughter three goats.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be structured like that at all. It's any kind of actual spiritual intent that you put. Intent is the anything. It can be a prayer, it can be herbs, it can be gardening, anything that has that actual intent in mind for a for deity. That's what I call ritual.
That's so true. I love that definition of ritual. It's really just setting a time aside with an intention and doing that intention, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Okay. I feel like a really, I don't know. I feel like this is good information for baby witches. There's so much like conflicting
yes.
stuff out there. And I know you're kind of like this, like me, like I'm just not into the whole like mainstream witchcraft where we're like buying penis shaped candles or whatever the hell. Like I'm more old school where I'm like, okay, no, like I want to actually work with a goddess and I want to use this to work on myself. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to not want to get caught up into the capitalist side of witchcraft and the quote unquote aesthetic.
Yeah.
Because everyone wants to have that nice Instagram picture, be able to show their friends and stuff like that. That's great. But the majority of the times I hardly ever post what my actual ritual is or looks like, because, like, for an example, I made cookies with tea leaves and carved in these rune symbols. I thought it was going to be like the most legit thing ever, and it looked terrible. Half of the cookies were burnt. Some of them you couldn't even tell had runes on them. So I was like, well, looks like we're just, you know, like, gonna eat these, not gonna take a picture. But I would say, like, don't even stress yourself out. Like, you don't have to buy a single damn thing if you don't want to.
Yes.
Repeat. Yes. Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Like, and, you know, part of me, I so think you're right. Like, ritual is sacred. And that's not to, like, diss any witch out there who may post these, like, elaborate pictures of their ritual bath or post pictures of their mm-hmm. altar or a spell that they're doing. Like, and I'm not saying that I won't do that ever, but, like, mm-hmm. there are some things about witchcraft that you do keep private because it is sacred, and it is your relationship with the goddess is sacred.
Yeah, it's like, on one side, I applaud you for taking that, like, amazing photo, but I'm just a little too afraid that my iPhone is going to fall into the tub with me, and then I'll right. just chaos.
Right, and it's like, where do you get all the money to buy these rose petals? Like, you literally have, like, 300 rose petals in that bathtub. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And use whatever you have, like, just growing around you. Like, an example would be some of my ancestors came from the Pennsylvania Dutch region. Whenever, like, their parents were immigrating from Germany, obviously they couldn't bring anything with them except the clothes on their back. So they had to improvise whatever herbs were available that were similar would do the trick is what they were using.
Yeah. Yep. You're so right. Like, do as the witches did in the past. Like, they weren't able to order, you know, off Amazon, like, whatever obscure spell ingredient that they needed, they used what they had on hand.
Mm-hmm.
That goes with, like, the Italian witch in me. Like, I always say, like, I think the biggest ingredient that Italian witches have used is just salt. And that's still, like, my tried and true ingredient. Like, I don't really do a spell ever or a ritual ever without incorporating salt somehow. And salt is in every person's house, right? You don't have to really go mm-hmm. out and buy it. And if you do go out and buy it, it's like a couple bucks. So it's not going to break the bank. And you really don't need any elaborate candle with sparkles and whatever. Like, those are nice if you can afford it. But really, witchcraft doesn't have to be this big materialistic, capitalistic thing.
Oh, yeah. Like, almost everything that I use for ritual is also everything that I use for general cooking every day.
Yeah, me too. Same here. Same mm-hmm. here, girl. Okay. All right. So maybe I want to kind of end our episode, but let's kind of talk about maybe some goddess suggestions that we might have, like, for baby witches who have maybe different concerns or purposes, or maybe they're looking for goddesses for different reasons. So, like, my first one was, do you have, like, a goddess that comes to mind if someone is looking for healing or comfort in a hard time?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I would say two. So Gaia or Mother Nature, and then mm-hmm. Freya, mm-hmm. even though she is somewhat more of, like, a fierce, like, warrior goddess, she's also very much about love, and she's also the goddess of cats.
Yeah. And
I've always really felt huge comfort with cats because they're surly and strong, but they're also very, like, comfortable and just kind of got that cancer feel to them.
Right, totally. I love that. A goddess for healing that we use a lot at the shop I work at is Kuan Yin. And we have Kuan Yin around everywhere because she's kind of also associated with Reiki, because, like, both Kuan Yin and Reiki, I think, come from like the Japanese pantheons, but she's very healing too. If something about her name rings a bell, maybe you're meant to research her more.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, what about a goddess maybe for someone who's learning witchcraft or wants to get more into it, or maybe even learning tarot or some sort of divination goddess?
Well, if you're talking about divination at all, you can't talk about it without Odin, because he's not a goddess, but I mean, does it really matter? We're all non-binary here in the witchcraft world, in a sense. Not trying to, you know, diminish that meaning for anybody else who wants to identify. But for me, he is, you know, he is the one that brought the runes from the ethereal world to the physical world.
Right.
So it makes sense for me to associate divination with that. I also, it's not specific goddess, but I like to think of like my female ancestors when I think of divination.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Yeah, we didn't really talk a lot about like calling in our own ancestors, but that's also an excellent starting point, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I think it's something that is relatable, and you can just kind of honor them in the fact of like, oh my gosh, like all of your love and hard work and dedication and blood, like physically made me here. So if you want to work with me to benefit, you know, the best and highest possible for everybody, like let's go for it with divination.
Right, right. That's so good. I'm trying to think for me. I have to say, I feel like the Morrigan has been a very like divination-y goddess for me. Like even though she's like my shadow work goddess.
Yeah.
I also call her in a lot when I'm doing a spell or when I'm trying to learn more about witchcraft. Like I also feel one of her purposes for me is to sort of show me how to be a witch. So I kind of feel like she's good. I know other people use Hecate for divination.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of any other divination goddesses. I mean, if you're learning tarot, you could even call in the High Priestess, right?
Like, oh yeah, I love that.
Like that could sort of be a goddess for you, because that could be like a really amazing energy to work with when you're learning tarot.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag intuition, mom.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And then lastly, how about anybody who, let's say you're a baby witch and you're looking more to embrace like love and sexuality and love yourself more, like who would you suggest?
We're embracing your own sexuality.
Yeah.
I really like Venus and Aphrodite.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I say their names separately, but to me, they're the same entity,
yeah,
in a sense. Because for me, they're like the ultimate like feeling yourself, loving yourself, like empress, just very attuned to what it means to be a woman and loving her body, but also like being a woman in the sense of loving the way that she is structured to be able to create more life.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's no real, like, they don't give you any kind of, like, body shame in that at all.
Yes. That's, yep. You're so right. I love that. Yeah. Obviously, I think I've already said it, but, like, Oshun would definitely be my, like, go-to for embracing sexuality and embracing that, like, loving energy. But it's so funny that you say, like, Aphrodite and Venus, because your description of Aphrodite and Venus would be exactly how I would describe Oshun. And that just goes to show that everything we've been saying is, like, kind of true, like, about how all the goddesses will overlap from time to time, and they're all sourcing from the same place, right?
There's a goddess for everyone.
There's seriously goddess for everybody. If you're listening and if any of those goddesses resonated, you could totally look them up. But if not, there's still like thousands out there that you could do research on, right?
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, this was such a good conversation. I'm going to have you back on more for some more witchcraft episodes, but yes. Thank you so much. Can I pull you a few runes and maybe give you a little message?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Cause I have my rune bag here and I'm going to pull some. and I'll kind of send you away on your highest good. Okay. Alrighty, so I just pulled 3 runes, and this is how bad I am at runes, because I don't remember their names, but I know what they mean, and I know what this is saying. And I'm getting first, like, you need to have more grit and gumption to do the risk that you want to take. You need to, like, take the risk. Like, are you on the threshold of doing something different, or like you feel hesitant about like going into something different?
There's a lot of like uncertainty about my like career moves I'm wanting to make, and me being very reliant on stability and the fear of not being stable is relying on those choices a lot. Yes.
I totally get that. Yeah. It's like, it's almost like I'm getting Taurus energy, even though you're not a Taurus. You're sort of in a way acting like that Taurus. Like I want safety, and I want like this, and like anything like out of the box or out of the bag is a little bit of a fear for you. But I'm definitely mm-hmm. getting that spirit's like, in a way, like follow what you fear the most, because that will give you the greatest reward in a way.
I love that. Follow the fear.
Yeah, I love it. But that's my message for you. I am not even going to attempt to say the names of the runes at this point in my runic thing, but I'll send you a picture of them after we get off this recording.
Sounds good.
Okay, thank you so much, Allison. And we'll talk soon, okay?
Yeah, thank you for having me. Okay. I feel honored.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye. Bye.